Okay, would you say a bit about the benefits of dwelling in loving-kindness during the dying process, both for the caregiver and the person dying? Of course, the immediate benefit of that during the dying process for the one who is the person dying, then of course, is the mind is not drawn to negative mental states, so that there's that eases the whole process of dying and the diminution of fear, kind of the physical ease, and then the clarity with which one is able to pass away and let the body go because it's held within a sphere of loving kindness. So that's a tremendous benefit. And for the caregiver, that ability to retain the perspectives on loving kindness and to dwell on that is because it's very tiring looking after a dying body. I mean, so that there's endless amounts of frustration that can come, or the uncertainties that come, so it can be very tiring. looking after somebody who is dying, so that that dwelling in loving kindness is a way to ameliorate some of either the frustrations or the worries and fears and projections that come, or the because sometimes one overextends oneself and is trying to be the ideal caregiver, and to be able to with loving kindness sort of saying, I'm really fried. I really need to ask somebody to help out. And that's an act of loving kindness, and it's really. these bodies take an enormous amount of they're really high maintenance when they don't work. Ajahn Chah, in the last years of his life, it was like 9 years, he was unable to look after himself. Bedridden, unable to speak, unable to use his limbs. And it was the monks who sort of looked after as the primary caregivers. But it was... it was a wonderful opportunity for the monks to look after him and give to him, but it really took. They set it up extraordinarily well in that there'd be those 4 monks and a novice in the daytime, 4 monks and a novice at nighttime, and really looking after all his needs. And there would be a very experienced monk as a sort of the head monk, looking after everything. Another monk who was somewhat experienced, and then there could be 2 sort of completely inexperienced monks. So that there was, and every 2 weeks there'd be a change, and people would come to Ajahn Chah's monastery and wait to get in line, to be able to care for Ajahn Chah. And that and they wouldn't do anything on Ajahn Chah that they hadn't become proficient at on themselves. So as it got to later stages of, say, nasal feeding tubes and stuff, monks had to, they had to train on themselves before they were allowed to sort of even get close to Ajahn Chah. So he was bedridden for 9 years and never had a bed sore, which is quite astounding for anybody who's had that experience. Just sort of the level of care, and it was really done out of, I would say, gratitude, respect, and loving kindness. Just so there was a real honor to be able to look after him. But that's, most people don't have a huge sangha of monks, and it's hard work looking after bodies that are breaking down. So one of the sort of the acts of loving kindness or use of loving kindness has been that realistic recognition. Well, how can I also be kind to myself, and then how can I also be drawing other people in to help as well? Because oftentimes we feel that it's sort of, we should be doing it, and it's sort of like the horse in Animal Farm. Can't remember his name, but it was like kind of, I will work harder, I will work harder, I will work. So, and of course, the pigs keep piling on the work, and it collapses and dies, and gets shipped off to the glue factory. But that sense of if I just work harder, then it'll all. And it really it's important to have that quality of loving kindness to sort of say, well, no, that's about my. This is about my limit, and I need to be able to find other resources or help others or find another way somehow to be able to deal with that.